looking good tonight. Tonight. Man, you've got your praise on, and we are thrilled that you're here with us tonight. I don't like to go into a whole lot of announcements and all that kind of stuff while we have guest speakers, because we just want to kind of set the atmosphere and just kind of turn it over to them. And so here's kind of the flow. Jeff's just going to come up, and Brother Jeff just do whatever he wants to do. And come on, how many know it's all right? And then at the end of the night, as we always do, we'll give you an opportunity so financially into his ministry, and you're going to want to do that. So while that's going on, while he's preaching, just be open and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you, and you can just go ahead and be a blessing, because God's going to set you up for what he's got in your future. Come on, you always want to sow towards your future. Cast your bread on the water, and you're going to find it after many days. Come on. So you're always, God's always trying to talk to us about our future, and seed's a very important part of that. So we'll give you an opportunity to do that at the end of the service. I got a chance to meet Jeff, I don't know, maybe it was about 2 years ago or something like that, up at a buddy's church up in Moreno Valley. Pastor Troy Shadid, him and his team were down here about 2 months ago on praise and worship night, and we just had an amazing, amazing time at that meeting. Jeff was there and actually was doing a spoken word. How many of you ever heard of spoken word? Come on, yeah. All the people under 30 are clapping. The people over kind of going, spoken what? A word spoke? He's probably not going to break out in that tonight, but just got some just amazing talent, it was a great, great night. And so we sat back in the back in the green room and hung out, and I just said, man, there's going to come opportunity. I want you to come here at the church sometime, and this is that time. So, for everything, Ecclesiastes says, there is a season and a time for everything under the sun. So listen to me. This is the season, and this is the time. And so what we encourage you to do is you just go ahead and get ready, because I believe he's going to say something that you need tonight. Come on, you need tonight. Come on, let's say it this way. What you need tonight is in the form of seed tonight from the word tonight that planted in your heart will produce 30, 60, 100 fold, right? So just get ready tonight. And so get your phone out, get your note thing out there, and whatever, how you take notes, and write something down. If you need to get a pen and write in your neighbor's leg, whatever you got to do, just write it down. I wouldn't suggest that, but if that's your last resort, go ahead and do it. And we believe that the word is going to work mightily tonight. Come on, stand up. Would you do it? Would you give a warm welcome to Brother Jeff Osborne? Hey! Love you, man.
God evening. What's going on, Spectrum Church? You guys feeling good? You look good. It's a good Sunday group right here. Before you're seated real quick, can we just give a round of applause to some of the most amazing pastors I've got to meet, Pastor Gary and Pastor Kimberly. Please, Israel, come on. Thank you. You may be seated momentarily. What an honor it is to be here in the house. I looked at my good friend Matt. I have Matt Rogers here. He's a really good friend of mine. And so my friend Matt is absolutely amazing. Some of you may recognize him from one of the finalists on season 3 of American Idol. He was the lead host on the show Coming Home, where the soldiers got connected with their children to set up amazing things. He just recently was the host of Gold Rush. If y'all into gold, they're on Discovery Channel. And he is as well is a regular family member and one of the hosts on Hallmark Channel's new show. And it's Home and Family. It's an amazing show. And what I love about Matt is he's been able to infiltrate in the industry in such a way where he showed that God wasn't weird. Come on, don't act like y'all too holy. Y'all don't know there's some weird old Christians out there who's slapping people in the face with like a big old huge Baptist King James Bible talking about, do you know the Lord, right? And so one of the things is that I love about it is that he's allowed God to be approachable. And I love how he's allowed God's love to be shown through people. And I believe the word says that we loved him because he first loved us. And I truly believe, especially in a time like this, when we begin to show more of God's love to a hurting world, we'll begin to see more of God's power lived out through us. Amen. So what an honor to be here. Thank you, Matt, for being here. This is my man right here riding with me. And so before I do it, I want to let you know I am married. I've been married now for 9 years to an amazing, I call her my fajita booty. I got a little Mexican wife. And high school sweethearts, we've been together for 12, married for 9. We have two beautiful children. My son, Jaden, just turned 8. And my daughter, Amaya, just turned 7. So they're 360 days apart. And you know, they call them Irish twins. And so my son and my daughter walk around there telling people, we're Irish. And they're looking at me, they're looking at them, and they're trying to figure out what that is. And so kind of give you a little flavor of my son. My son, Jaden, we were in the car, and he was asking a question. He's like, Dad, what am I? I was like, you're human. What do you mean? What are you? He's like, no, Dad, what am I? Like, look, you're like chocolate, and mommy's more like caramel. So, like, what am I? And I was like, oh, son, well, you're black and you're Mexican. And he gets so upset. He goes, don't call me that, Dad. I said, what are you talking? You're black and you're Mexican. He goes, no, Dad, I'm tan. And so, I got a tan son. And my daughter, her name is Amaya, and she's as sassy as she wants to be. And so we're driving in the car, and as I'm driving, my daughter's in the back seat with my son Jaden. And as we're driving, we hear poof, and my son Jaden starts crying. Ah, Amaya hit me in the head with a book. So I'm about to say something. Nadia goes, my wife goes, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. You're taken care of. And I said, all right. So I'm driving. And she goes, Amaya, why did you hit your brother in the head with a book? I kid you not, I couldn't make this up. She goes, Mom, I was trying to read his mind. So my daughter felt like she had to hit him in the head with a book to read his mind. I couldn't make that up. She got that from my wife, the smarts from there. But what an amazing opportunity it is to preach the word of God. I love being a pastor because I was talking to Matt on the way down here. I said, do you realize, Pastor Gary and Pastor Kimberly, that we are actually doctors of souls? And as everybody here is a minister, and we have the opportunity to begin to allow the word of God to come in such a way that you can help mend somebody's soul that is dying. And will you take a moment to just sit and say la on that and sit on that? The weight behind what we carry, being a follower of Christ, is something that is absolutely amazing. And I believe that even in worship, as pastors started getting up and doing, I almost just went home. I was like, they already preached. The worship was that oily. And so, but as I was sitting here and I was praying and pastor reached out to me and I had the privilege of preaching out in South Africa, and I was going through the airport, going through security when he messaged me. I was so juiced to be able to preach. I'm trying to respond back to him saying, I'm going through security, and I'm trying to talk to him. He's like, look, brother, you're going through security. Just wait. I don't want you getting tasered. Don't want you getting, you know. But I was so excited, and as I began to pray out there, I felt like there was a word that God began to stir in my spirit. And we're in a time right now where it's so vital. I feel like God is beginning to sift through his children to see those who really want the promise that he promised them or people who were just talking about it. My dad has always grown up, and my dad wears a size 16 shoe. He's a big man. He's 6'4 and a half, 260 pounds, and that brother played tennis. Tennis, yelling, like doing all that stuff playing tennis. But he says, your shoes have got to be louder than your mouth. And I believe that in a time and a season of where we are now, God is wanting to see who really wants it. Who's serious about the promise that I've told them about their life, about their health, about their marriage, about their finances? Who is actually serious about what it is that I promised him? And I feel like this word is a word that will transition. We're in a season of transition. Everybody's going through transitions, moments where things look weird, where it's not adding up. And you're saying, but there was supposed to be this, but now it's that. I was supposed to have this, and now this seems taken away. I was supposed to be experiencing this in my relationship and my marriage, but it seems like all hell is breaking loose in my household. My children were supposed to be serving God, but for some reason, things aren't adding up. You're in a transition. And oftentimes what happens is we'll turn a transition into a tragedy when we don't understand what God is doing. And so it's for this purpose and this reason tonight I come on a mission. I don't look at this, brother. And I always say this, what you look for is what you're going to get. Whatever you magnify will manifest. So whatever you're looking for today, if you want to look at me and say, man, he's bow-legged and he's pigeon-toed, you're going to look at that. If you ask why is Gene so skinny, you're going to see that. But the bottom line is if you came tonight expecting something, I believe that when we raise our expectation, God raises his visitation. And so tonight, my desire is that for this moment that you would begin to engage and raise your expectation. What if for these next 30 minutes, what if for this next moment as I'm sitting up here, what if God gave you something that you've been asking for, but you may have missed it because you were magnifying something that was worthless? It's in this moment that I wish to capture you just for a moment. As we walk and take this journey through what God has for us tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. I stand as a pen in the hand of a ready writer. Father, let them see you and not me. I am simply a conduit to allow your power and your love to flow through your children. Let them understand this word and let it be etched in their hearts like a tattoo. We love you and we expect amazing things from you, Holy Spirit. Move and continue to move like it was when we first walked through this door, when we first came onto this campus. We thank you and give you free reign in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you would, I said momentarily, if you would just stand, if you have your Bibles, could you turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. You know, we stand for so many different things. I'm a huge sports fan And so we stand for our teams. Why not stand for the word of God? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 says, afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria as they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Verse 26, now as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? And the king asked her, what is your trouble? She answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So he boiled my son and ate him. And on the next day, I said to her, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. If I had to have a message for tonight, it would be entitled, what's on your plate? What's on your plate? You may be seated. So at this moment, and to really understand what's happened earlier in the chapter, you have this king, and as Elijah's doing it, the king of Syria has gone up against the children of Israel in Samaria. And at this point, Elijah is walking, and right next to Elijah, he has his assistant who's with him. And as his assistant's with him, he's rolling with them. All of a sudden, they wake up one morning, and they find out that all about them is the enemy in camp. And he begins to panic and he says, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Do you understand what's happening? And he says, no, don't worry about it. I got you. And he says, what are you talking about? Do you not see what's going on? He says, no, don't worry. And it says at that moment he prayed, God, open his eyes so that he can see that there are more who is with us than with them. And all of a sudden it says Gehazi's eyes were open and he began to see over the horizon all of the people, that the chariots and the horses that God had set up on the ridge. And as he began to look, he says, look, see, there are more with us than there is with them. And at that moment, as they begin to rush, Elijah prayed and he says, Father, I pray that you blind them so that they can't see us. And in that moment, it says the massive army was blinded. And as they came down, he says, look, who are you looking for? And they begin to say, we're here to take over Samaria. He goes, here, let me show you where it's at. You're in the wrong place. And he begins to lead the whole garrison into the core of Samaria, where they were surrounded by the enemies. And at that moment, their eyes were open. And they saw what had happened. And the king is panicking. He says, what should we do? Should we take them out right now? He goes, no, that's not how you did it. We're not going to take them out. What you do is you feed them. And when you feed them, you show them the love of God. And when you show them the love of God, then let them go. Isn't it amazing how sometimes when God gives you an opportunity to take somebody out, Holy Spirit gives you another opportunity to show God's love? Do y'all feel what I'm talking about? And so at that moment, they let them go. And when they let them go, now we find ourselves not even out the chapter. And in verse 24, we find out that the same army is going right against the same people who helped them. Isn't that ironic? How sometimes you open your heart up, you open up your mind, you open up your finances, you begin to sow into people to have a moment of peace, to have those same exact people come back and try to take over. And so the children are in this place where they're trying to figure out what's going on. And so now we come to this point in verse 24. And as I begin to look at this whole idea of what's on your plate, we live in an age where you can Yelp restaurants. You can go on Instagreezy, which is Instagram, and you can find all these different restaurants. You can find everything that's going on. And as you begin to look for these restaurants, people say, oh, don't eat here. I don't like this waiter. Oh, don't eat this. Or eat this. The food was phenomenal. And so yet we're in this place where when you become a foodie, you can find all the answers to these restaurants and see what they're rated, how expensive they are. But tonight, I'd like to invite you in to a restaurant that is exclusive. Tonight, there is a reservation for one in one of the most exclusive restaurants that you will ever experience in your life. The thing about this restaurant is that once you leave this restaurant, people don't leave reviews. When you leave this restaurant, people don't tell you what the waiter was like. The other crazy thing about this restaurant is when the reservation is made and you decide not to go, you don't have the opportunity to come and visit this restaurant again. Tonight, I'd like you to pull up a chair, open up your napkin, get ready, because you're invited to a restaurant called life. I've heard this saying that says, show me what you eat, and I'll show you what you are. And it's amazing to me that I'm a vegan. And so me being a vegan, it's very important for me to understand what I'm eating. It's very important for me to understand what's going in my body. And so for me, it just works for me. So I'm not going to be able to eat meat or eat steak like everybody else. People say, you show me what you eat, and I'll show you what you are. Isn't it amazing how you can see people who gorge on sweets and they gorge on all these foods and they find out that those people are depressed? Show me what you eat, and I'll show you what you are. But yet, I'm looking at this story, and I ask the question, why is this important? See, a siege, to understand what's going on, a siege happens when an army begins to camp around a city. And as they camp around the city, what they do is they don't want to go head on head. They don't want to go toe to toe for a fight. What they begin to do is they begin to cut off the resources around them. They begin to cut off the food supply so that the people are in dire straits. So, well, either they're too weak to fight or they end up surrendering. And so now they're at this place where in verse 25, it begins to talk about how a donkey's head goes for 85 shekels. See, the amazing thing about this restaurant and in life is as you begin to sit down, the first waiter that comes to you is the enemy. And the enemy serves you a menu that's a siege. And on this menu, you find a donkey's head, dove's dung, and you find the daughters. Can I go into that for a minute? When you're in a place where the enemy begins to cut off your food supply, the enemy comes in and gives you a menu, but the menu is nothing that you would have ever ordered on your own. Oftentimes in life, when you're going through situations and seasons, you're given these things in front of you, and this is not what you would have ordered off the menu called life, as our friend Rex would say. And as you're looking at this menu in front of you, you find out the first thing on this menu is a donkey's head. Now, here's what's amazing about a donkey's head. A donkey was an extremely valuable animal. And as a donkey was an extremely valuable animal, the donkey, his head alone, had almost no meat on it. But yet the people were in such a desperate place that they begin to pay money for something that has no meat. I wonder what happens when the enemy begins to siege our lives and we begin to pay the price for things that have no real meat. Things that have no real value. We begin to spend money on things that are absolutely astronomical, where you would never in your life spend money on these things. But because the enemy has cut off your food supply, now you become desperate. And you find yourself valuing the things that have no value. The next thing that we find on the menu is the dove's dung. And when I thought about that, I said, there's got to be another name for it. And there's some scholars who say that it was a little weed or a little plant that was very coarse. But most of them err to the side of it actually being dove dung. And when I begin to look at it, he says, when the enemy begins to serve you this appetizer menu, he gives you dove dung. And what dove dung represents is when the enemy tries to cut off your food source, you'll begin to consume what should be released. When the enemy comes after you, what ends up happening is you begin to consume and eat the things in your life that God is telling you to release. You begin to eat the things called bitterness. You begin to eat the things called envy. You begin to eat the things called poverty. You begin to eat the things called lack. You begin to eat the things called sickness because your source has been cut off. What are you consuming that should be released? See, the enemy's no dummy because he knows if I can get them the appetizer first and give them my menu, maybe, just maybe, they'll just stay on this menu. Because the next thing that we find on the menu is the daughters. And you have these two women who are in a place where there's a famine. And the famine is so bad, they make a deal to eat their children. And as they begin, they cry out. And what strikes me is that when they cry out to the king, the woman had no shame of the fact that she ate her own child. She was more upset that she didn't get to chow down on the other woman's child. There was no shame in her game. And when I begin to look at that, the story of the women eating their children represent us. When there's a famine, we begin to eat the seed that should be planted. When the enemy begins to cut the things out of your life and he begins to siege and cut off the supplies around you, you begin to eat the seeds in your life that God tells you to plant. What's amazing is that instead of allowing her children to understand the seed of God's promise, she said, there's nothing else greater, so let me go ahead and eat you. I wonder how many of us parents in this place, because we're dealing with a famine, begin to eat our seed, our children, in such a way that we no longer give them the hope of God's promise. See, the enemy is so cold because he knows he can't go toe-to-toe with you. But if he can give you options, then you end up picking it, then it's your fault. And I believe oftentimes we give him so much credit for stuff that we do on our own. We go through trials, we go through troubles, we go through all of these things, and people tell you, oh, this is just your testimony, brother. No, it's not. You're going through what you're going through because of disobedience, and you chalk it up to your testimony to make you feel better. That's how we do it. Am I being real? Can we be real here? See, if I'm coming to church, I'm coming to get answers for something that I need in my life. I don't need somebody to do the Hillsong hop and tell me, brother, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Pass the test. Whoop. Like, I don't need that. Because I'm going through real problems, so I need to know that there's a real God with real answers so I can get real results. And I believe that we would see more of God when you begin to see more of real pastors and more people who are real Christians saying, look, I'm going through it, but I know that I serve a God who is bigger than what I'm going through. And that's what frustrates me sometimes, is people say, oh, I'm going through it, Pastor Jeff. No, you're not. You're camping in it. Have you gotten to a place where you're camping in what God has called you to go through? And so now they're in this place where the woman is eating her seed. And she made a deal with somebody who was untrusting. Isn't it amazing when you feel like your life, your marriage, your health is in a famine, that you start making deals with people who have no integrity? Because you begin to look to them for whatever you need instead of God. See, at this point, the women had gotten so desperate that they begin to eat the thing that God called them to plant. And the story continues. And as The enemy is serving you this menu, this appetizer menu of siege. The beautiful thing is that God is serving you a menu of a promise. While the enemy is serving you a siege, God is serving you a promise. Can I tell you what the enemy's plot is? The enemy wants you to get so stuffed off the appetizers that you don't even have time for the entree of God's promise. See, have y'all ever been in that place where you begin to eat the appetizer? I'll have that, and I'll have that, and I'll have that, and I'll have that. And by the time you order your meal, you can't even eat it because you're so stuffed off the appetizers. If the enemy can get you stuck on the appetizer of the donkey's head, where you begin to buy things that have no value, he begins you to get stuck on the dove's dung, where you begin to consume the things that should be released. And if he gets you so full off of eating your seed rather than bearing it, he's done his job because you don't even have room for the main course. I'm going somewhere. I want you guys to follow me on this one. Because the next thing that the enemy does is we find it in chapter 7 of 2 Kings. Chapter 7 of 2 Kings is the moment where God serves up a promise. The king, Jehoram, is so upset at the fact that his own people are eating their sons. He rips his clothes. He says, far be it from me if Elisha's head is still on his shoulders. He got so upset at the condition that they were at that he went for somebody else instead of went inward. Isn't it amazing when there's a famine, we look for everybody else to be the reason instead of looking to him? We look for everybody. See, it's easier to point the fingers. But he was at this place where he said, I got to go after the man of God. So as he's sitting there, Elisha's chilling with all his boys around him. And as he's chilling with his boys, they're saying, look, you know, he begins to talk about Jehoram, and he begins to talk about what he's doing, and here he's coming up against them. And as he comes up against them, in the middle of them talking, here's what happens. In chapter 7, verse 1, we see when Jesus and God serve the promise. He says this, but Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, everybody say tomorrow. About this time, a sea of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seas of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Watch this. Chapter 2. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. My subtitle in my Bible says, Elijah promises food. In the midst of a famine, God promises food. But you don't see what my circumstance looked like, but God promised food. You don't understand, I've got children who are dying because their moms are eating them, but God is going to offer food. Wait, you don't understand what the doctor said about my diagnosis. No, but God promises food. You don't understand what my bank account says, but God promised food. At the same time the enemy offered a siege, God offered a promise. Now here's what blew me away about this. He said, fine barley will sell for one shekel, and fine flour will sell for one shekel. That's almost like saying a Maserati will be $1 tomorrow. And a brand new Mercedes will be $1 tomorrow. It's as though you would say, there's no way that that's happening. Do you understand what our economy looks like? Do you understand what we're going through? Do you understand? But he said, no, you don't get it. God made a promise. And so as he's in this place where he's looking at this promise, here's what just blows me away. When God gives him the promise, there's a man who's right next to him and says, look, even if God should open up heaven, should this thing happen by tomorrow? Notice that Elijah said tomorrow. I want you just to kind of check that in your head real quick. He said, when did he say? Tomorrow. He didn't say next week. He said tomorrow. So just kind of put that in the back of your mind. Now this man says, there's no way that this could happen. Isn't it funny? When God offers you a menu called the promise, you'll always have somebody who will begin to speak against it. Whenever God tells you that you've already been healed, isn't it funny how you have people who tell you, you know what, let's be realistic about this situation. When God gives you a dream and a promise for your business and for your marriage to be restored, I don't care if you've been going through hell in your marriage for the past 25 years. When God gives you a promise, isn't it amazing how you have somebody say, don't get your hopes up. Where am I supposed to put my hopes then? Well, let's be realistic. I hate being realistic because our reality begins when everybody else's ends. I'm walking you guys to something. We just warming up. But then he gives them a promise and he says, not only will you see it come to pass, but you won't even get to partake in it. See, I find in our lives, we spend so much time trying to convince people of the promise that God gave us and why his promise should work and why I'm already healed and why I'm coming out of what I'm coming out. We spend so much time trying to justify why we should be blessed. We spend so much time trying to justify why I can walk in complete healing. We spend so much time trying to convince these people wrong and prove them wrong that we never take the time to prove God right. And yet, he says, not only will the promise come, but you won't even get a chance to partake in it. Can I tell you, if you would just stop trying to prove people wrong and let God move, you'll prove God right. And the people who are talking against you won't even be able to partake and the blessing that God has for you. Are y'all following me on this one? Because we're going to get into some real, real meat. Because after God gave the promise, it was up to them to believe the promise. Did you notice that he said in 24 hours? Did you notice that he said the next day? By this time, tomorrow. He didn't say there's got to be a process, and as a process happens, the crop's got to come in, and once the crop comes in, then you'll be able to plant. He says, by this time, tomorrow. So when God serves us the main issue called his promise, you have to understand something. The reason why most of us never make it to the promised land and we get so full off of the appetizer is because we don't believe in God's promise. See, here's something about God that I love is that his character isn't like the character of man. That just went over somebody. Let me say that again because I know it's Sunday night. God's character isn't like the character of men because men make mistakes. And men mess up. And men don't follow through with what they're going to say. And men change their mind because their feelings don't feel like it anymore. But can I tell you something? God is not run by his feelings. He's run by his word. That's why he says, I place my word above my name. The word above my name means the being itself. He says, I place my word in such a place that once I speak it, it is not going back to where it went. It's going to where I'm calling it to go. And once it goes planted into the ground, it will not return void, but it will go forth and accomplish for which I've sent it. See, you have to understand something. When God gives you a promise and it goes out, it doesn't come back until it's accomplished what he said. So when the enemy serves you the appetizer menu called a siege, God serves you a promise. But here's where it really gets oily. Is after he gives you the promise, he'll allow you to get the dessert. And the dessert is the power of his provision. You go from a place to where you get an appetite from the enemy. But then God serves you an entree of his promise to keep you steadfast. But then after God gives you the promise and you begin to step in the promise, now it's time to see what's for dessert. Everybody say, what's for dessert? So watch this. In order to figure out what the dessert is, this is where I get juiced at. This is where I wanted to park. And I had to lay the ground so that you guys can be able to understand what's about to happen. In chapter 7, verse 5, prior to that, in verse 3, there's these lepers who are chilling outside of the city. And they're outside of the gate. And it says, they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let's enter the city, a famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. You know, they got to a place to where they were so desperate that they said, if I stay here, I die. And nothing happens. If I go and they kill us, we die. And nothing happens. But did you not understand the little part where they say, but if they take us, then we shall live? Oftentimes we live life with an either or. Either I die or I go over there or die. Either or. But we never look at the and. We could go over there and we could live. Oftentimes it's easier for us to live in the place of the either or than to exercise the and. Because the and is the place of faith. So they said, well, I'm sitting here right now and I'm going to die anyway if we sit here. If we go over here, I'm going to die anyway if they take us out. So we might as well jump out in some faith and see what we can get. And I wonder how many people would experience the power of God like never before if they would just jump out and see what they can get. I love Pastor Craig Rochelle. He said this. He says, change is hard for people because we overvalue what we have in our hand and we undervalue what we could have if we let it go. I'm going to say that one more time. Change is hard for people because we overvalue what we have in our hand and we undervalue what God could give us if we just let it go. I wonder how many of us are in a place right now where you're overvaluing what you have in your hand because you say, God, if I give you this, then there's nothing else for me. God, if I open up my heart in my marriage and I show that I'm vulnerable, this is all I've had to protect me. And if I give this up, I have nothing. God, if I step out and start this business like you've called me to step in, and I leave this comfort zone, what if that comfort zone is all I had and that's so precious that there's nothing else that I want, so I'm going to hold on to this. And it says that if you don't let go what's in your hand, how can you take what's in God's? So they're at this place where they have to now let go of everything that they think they know and say, well, what if God comes through tomorrow for this famine? What if? And so we find in verse 5, watch this. It says, so they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. Verse 6. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. Verse 7. Everybody say 7. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys of the camp and their clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off the things from it when they went and hid them. So now what we find is that the lepers go into this place and they raise at what time? They say it was twilight when they got up to go into the camp. Did y'all follow me on that one, right? So watch this. Verse 9, it says, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one to be seen or heard there. Nothing but the horses tied and the donkeys tied and the tents as they were. Then the gatekeepers called out and was told within the king's household. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in open country. And one of his servants said, let some men take the 5 of the remaining horses, seeing that those who are left will fare like the whole multitude of Israel who have already perished. Let us send and see. So they took two horsemen, and the king sent them after the army of the Syrians, saying, go and see. So they went after them as far as the Jordan. And behold, all the way was littered with garments and equipments that the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. And the messengers returned. The next verse, as you read down in the verses, it says, at that moment, when the word was said, the people of the city rushed the gates. And the man who was on the side of the king was standing there by the gates. And it said that he was trampled to death, saw the provision of God, but was not able to partake in it. But what I really want to draw on the part, and this is where we get real oily, is it said in verse 7 that when they walked in, they saw that nobody was there. And that everything that they desired to have, or whatever it was that they saw, was open for the taking. Here's what I started thinking. I said, why, God, would you highlight the time of twilight? And here's what happened. The time of twilight is the time right after sunset and the time just before sunrise. Then I looked at it being verse 7, which is the number of completion. And then I began to think about the promise that Elijah made just the day before, where he said, this time tomorrow, flour will be sold for one shekel and barley will be sold for one shekel. But here's what I could not get over, the fact of this twilight, because what I begin to understand and what I begin to realize is when Elijah made the promise, they forgot the fact that he said, you don't understand, in 24 hours, God is going to turn your situation around. He said, you're looking so much at your famine that you can't see that we serve a 24-hour God. You're looking so much at your sickness that you don't understand that God is a God. When he touches something, something has no option but to change. And so we're looking at this God that is a 24-hour God. And then I said to myself, self, and myself said, what's up, Jeff? And as he looked at it, he said this. He said, there was twilight. I said, okay, what's the deal with twilight? He says, you don't get it. Twilight is the time right after sunset and right before sunrise. I said, okay. Then he said this. He says, you don't understand. When my son died on the cross, he set his promise right then and there. And there is a moment where the son will rise off of the throne and make sure every promise that he gave you will come to pass. That's how the sunrise and the sunset happened. He says, when the son died on the cross, he set his promise in front of you. And there will be a season in your life where the son will rise off of his throne and make sure every promise comes to pass. See, but the challenge with us is not whether or not God is faithful. The challenge is whether or not we're faithful. See, when life comes at you and life gets hard, you begin to question whether or not God is real. But if you understood that we serve a 24-hour God, that says when I touch something inside of you, it's got to grow. Our God doesn't allow things to die that he's called to live. And you ask me this question. You say, Pastor Jeff, how do you know this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because when I was a young man, God gave me a promise that said that I would travel the world. But then there was a famine in my life where I got arrested for 6 armed robberies and attempted murder. And they put me in jail. And they gave me a deal of 16 years to life in prison. But wait, but there was a promise. And in the midst of my promise, I still had a famine. But there was a promise. But I was still in a famine. But there was a promise. But I'm still in a famine. See, I had to ask myself, God, why would you give me a promise if you knew that there was going to be a famine? And then God spoke to me and says, because if you don't understand what it means to have nothing, you won't be able to celebrate when I give you everything. You're in this season in your life where you're beginning to look at the famine around you, but God has given you a promise. And so here I was inside of my cell, and as I was in my cell, I said, God, you made me a promise that I would go and I would change lives and people would come to know who you are. And in the midst of my famine, God gave me a promise. And so when I had nothing to eat, I held on to his promise to feed me. Question is, so what are you feeding off of? What's on your plate? No, listen to what I'm asking you. What's on your plate? What's on your plate? Are you eating off of the menu of what the enemy has given you? Or are you eating the entree of God's promise? I want that to soak in. Are you eating off of the appetizer menu? Are you eating from God's entree called his promise? Right now, if we can have somebody come up and play the pianos, it'll make me sound a lot more holier. I wish to draw this point home. And the reason why is because I truly believe that tonight there are some things that are going to shift on your plate. See, the reason why I didn't have to try to focus so much on trying to preach this dynamic message is because Holy Spirit is the one who shifts the things on your plate. I had a promise, but I was in a cell. And I don't know who's here tonight, but there's somebody here who feels like, God, you've given me a promise, but it seems like I'm in a cell. I'm caged. It seems like there's no way out. I've got people telling me when I can go here and when I can go here. I'm a prisoner, even though I'm free. See, what I understood about this message is that, God, I've lost everything, but I still have everything. Because as long as God is in my life, in 24 hours, he can shift some things. When it looked like I was going this way and there was no way to stop it, God's wind blew and he shifted some things. I was in my cell and they sentenced me to 16 years in life and sent me to Chino State Prison. They threw me in solitary confinement. And I was locked down 24 hours a day in pitch darkness. They wouldn't give us spoons, Pastor, because people were fashioning weapons out of them where I was at. They took everything I had. But what they left me was the very thing I needed, which was his word. They took everything I had, but didn't understand that my real weapon was in his promise. There's somebody here tonight who is sick. You're dealing with cancer. You're dealing with joint pains. You're dealing with scoliosis. You're dealing with all of these things that the enemy is trying to come up and doctors are trying to tell you. And he's trying to take your pain. He's trying to take everything around you and magnify it in front of you. You've taken my health. You've taken my car. You've taken my money. You've taken my family. But what? Guess what he can't take? It's the promise. Because when I had a sliver of light, I leaned up against the wall and I began to read every promise that God said about my life. One of the top-ranked football players, I had scholarships to go anywhere I wanted for wide receiver. lost it all. Couldn't understand what was going on. I was in a race riot where they tried to cut my neck open with a razor blade. I have a scar on the side of my neck. And in the midst of me fighting for my life, I yelled out, Jesus! And I hear a thud. And I look to my right, and he's laid out, but nobody's around me. Because I had a promise. The next day, the officers thought it would be funny to put me in a 12-man cell with 10 Hispanic gang members. As I'm sitting there, they move all of the other African Americans and the blacks out, and they leave just me. And then they open the gate to call for the transfers, and I hear Gonzalez, Ramirez, and all of these different names. I say, man, those don't sound like brothers. And as they begin to come in, I said, God, you're going to have to do something. I was on the bottom bunk. I pulled the sheet back, and as I laid down, I waited. And I said, God, I don't know what's going to happen right now once they discover I'm in here. But there's no way I'm coming out. But, everybody say, but, I had a promise. And at that moment, something miraculous happened that has not happened in the history of Los Angeles County. There was a power outage. And the lights shut down. And the entire tier where I was at was pitch black. They didn't know that I was in there. And it was late at night. And so they went to sleep. And when they went to sleep, I got up and I wrapped my stuff up. I put my back against the wall so nobody could stab me from behind. I said, God, you gave me a promise. And if nothing happens, I'm dead. 5 minutes later, Osborne roll it up, transfer. As they open the cell door, they look and they say, oh man, go get him. And they reach for me. And the moment they try to reach for me, I step down and the gate closed just in time. Because we serve a God that can change things just when the enemy thought he could grab you. And then they move me. And they say, this is where you're going to be for the rest of your life. But I said, God, you gave me a promise. And I refuse to be filled with the appetizers of what the enemy is offering me. Because I would rather be full with the entree of your promise and your word. And in that moment, I'm sitting on the level 4 prison yard. Revival breaks out. The head general of the Nazi Lowrider prison gang becomes one of my best friends. It's a man who has a swastika the size of my head and lightning bolts that symbolize he killed blacks. Looks at me and he has 27 felony counts against him. And I look at him, I'm sitting down, I said, man, bro, you look stressed out. And he looked at me like, this chocolate boy lost his mind. Does he know who he's talking to? He goes, yeah, I'm stressed out. He says, you would be too if you have 27 felony counts. I said, yeah, you got me there. I said, but hey, I know a good lawyer. And he's like, what? I said, he knows the judge, he knows the DA, like he's connected. And he looks at me and goes, man, I ain't got no money for this. I said, no, he's pro bono. And they said, who is he? I said, Jesus. And he looked at me. And God began to work this relationship to where he used to draw. And I got to say this because there's a point behind it. As he began to draw these portraits. And as he would draw these portraits, that's how he made his money. And that's how he supported himself. And he ran out. And what I did is I told my wife, I said, babe, take all of my money and put it on his books. And I went to him, I said, hey. His name was Looney. I said, hey, Looney. Why don't you go to the store? He goes, man, I ain't got no money for that. I said, come on, man. You know my God is in the miracle business. I said, but look, when you fill out the list like you're expecting to get something. Fill it up to what it is that you desire in your heart. And he fills it out and goes, look, preacher boy. The next Wednesday rolls along, and as they call the next Wednesday, he walks up. And when he walks up, they call everybody's name, and he's just sitting there. And as he's sitting there, his name doesn't get called. And as his name doesn't get called, he's wondering what's going on. He's wondering what's happening. And he looks at me, and I'm sitting there reading my Bible. And he goes, look, see, preacher boy. And all of a sudden, just in a moment, they call his name. And a giant bag with his name gets pushed through the gates. And he walks over to me with tears in his eyes. He said, how did you know? He said, my own people wouldn't do it for me. I've killed your people. And you would do this for me? And I looked at him, I said, because that's what my God did for me. Later on that night, he comes to me, he goes, preacher boy, whatever it is you have, I want. The story doesn't stop there. Because he goes to court. I lead him into the Lord. He goes to court the next day. 25 of the 27 counts get dropped, and he has proof to show the other two are in him. And in a moment, God shifted it. But here was the catch. I was there and I said, God, everybody else is getting deliverance. But I'm still here. And there are some of you who are in this place. And you said, God, you gave me a promise. And I'm watching people get breakthrough. I'm watching people get promotion. I'm watching people get healed. I'm watching people get homes. I'm watching marriages get restored. I'm watching families be healed. But I'm still here. And God said to me, son, do you trust my promise? I said, yes. 11 months I'm in, and all of a sudden the door opens. And they say, Osborne, go back up to court. I said, what? He said, you're going back up to court. I'm thinking they're giving gang allegations. I'm thinking they're adding ad charges. And I go back up to court at LAX courthouse, chained up, but with a promise. And he says, upon reviewing your letter, I looked at him. What letter? He said, you got a letter on your behalf from the assistant warden of Chino State Prison. I never saw the man, never met the man, never shook his hand, but the man heard a noise. Just like the Syrians heard a noise. Can I tell you something? There is a noise that is roaring louder in the spiritual realm than the noise that is roaring right now where you are. And if you could just get it in your spirit to hear this noise that God is saying about your situation, that God is saying about your health, that God is saying about your family, that God is saying about your finances. If you would just tweak your ears, you could hear that there's a noise that is louder than what you're going through. Because in that moment, when God gave me a promise, I heard a noise. The warden heard a noise. And the noise said this, let him go. When I should have served 16 years to life, Pastor, I served 11 months and God let me go. Why did you tell this story? I said all of this to let you know that when God gives you a promise, in a moment, everything will change. When the enemy gives you a diagnosis, but there's a noise that God has that comes from the heavens, the noise says healed, all of a sudden your cancer, all of a sudden your sickness, all of a sudden your lupus, all of a sudden your joint problems, all of a sudden your intestine problems, they have to change, because the there's a noise. What I love about this entire story, not only did it happen at twilight, but it happened when everybody was sleeping. Which lets me know that God works the graveyard shift. No, y'all didn't get that. Y'all thought that was a cute saying. Listen to what I'm telling you. God works the graveyard shift. God works the graveyard shift. Which means this. While they were sleeping, God was fighting their battles. When they didn't understand what was going on because they were so exhausted, they couldn't see that God was fighting their battles. Which tells me that we look at God as a God of our breakdowns, not knowing that He's the God of our battles. We go to God when we're breaking down and trouble hurts us, but we don't understand that God is already fighting for us. We look at our God and say, God, I'm hurting. God, I'm sick. God, but God says, you don't understand. I'm a warring God. And those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And the truth of my word says that you are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You know what I love? Is that when you look at the word a conqueror, Alexander the Great was a conqueror. Genghis Khan was a conqueror. Julius Caesar was a conqueror. And he conquered continents. If God said that you were more than a conqueror, what should you be conquering that you're not right now? Did you catch that? If everybody would stand to your feet right now, I want you to understand something. You could come here tonight and say, wow, that was a really moving speech. I even teared up a little bit. Or you could say, wow, I had a tangible touch of God. People ask me oftentimes, Pastor, why do you jump and why do you run when you worship? I said, because until you've known bondage, you won't understand true freedom. People can laugh, people can scoff, people can say, how does he look like that? But I kind of liken to my brother, David, who says, you thought I was crazy when I danced out my clothes out there? Wait till you see me in the confines of my home. I believe that extravagant worship should be the norm and not the exception, Pastor. I believe what would happen if God's children got so radical about their promise that they begin to shout louder than the noise of the enemy. I wonder what would happen if God's children begin to get something inside of them that says, I can't stay silent. I can't just stand here. I can't stand here with my hands in my pocket. I can't allow the enemy to come into my house, to come into my marriage. But if there was God's children who were just bold enough to make some noise, bold enough to begin to shout, bold enough to experience what God has. I wonder what would happen. Pastor, can I have 5 more minutes? Because this whole night wasn't even for my story. this whole night was for you to have a tangible touch from the power of God. The anointing sits in this place. And I love that, pastors, because you allow Holy Spirit to do what He does, that He just dwells here. It sits. It's not something that gets ushered in by a worship song. It's not something that gets conjured in. The presence of God sits on this campus because that's been the cry of your hearts. Over 30 years ago, when you began ministry, 31 years, you stepped into ministry. And was it a year after you guys were married? That you began to say, God, just let your presence be felt. And yet the biggest battle was the enemy trying to steal that presence and bring people in. But yet you guys fought. And you didn't just fight just for you. You fought for them. And I just feel like I see this picture of a diamond that was just covered and just surrounded by all these big looking rocks. But God allowed things to go dark to where His light began to shine on this diamond, and all the rocks that seemed so big could not contain the light that was coming from this diamond. They always say, you know, pressure creates diamonds, and you got to go through some stuff to get the diamond to shine the way it is. But do you know that oftentimes if God looks at us as His jewels and His diamonds, we have to allow Him to cut us? And pastors, you have been cut and cut and cut and cut because you said, God, use us. May not make sense, but we'll do it. I don't know how to be anything other than who we are, so use us. And I'm telling you this, how diamonds, when they begin to grow, is similar to gold, how you hit a fault line of where the diamonds are. But what happens is the diggers have to see the first diamond to know that they're in the right place. You have been the first diamonds. And as you begin to shine, you begin to highlight that, God, your favor is on our lives. And if you begin to decree and declare that God's favor is on your life, that means that there's a fault line that comes after you filled with your people. And if you would begin to understand that as the light begins to shine through them, that the light shines through you so that the anointing of God's power can say that there are more diamonds in this fault line. And if I can get to these diamonds, then I can begin to expose them, to show them the value that they have, because what they have inside of them is more than what is around them. Because where you are isn't who you are, because who you are is greater than where you are. And pastors, this is a moment where God says you can no longer be hidden. This is a moment where, because you've allowed God's light to shine through you, that His favor is shining through them. And now as you who are out here begin to get blessed, you begin to highlight and say, y'all didn't know that this was a fault line of diamonds here at Spectrum Church? Right now, I just feel the Spirit of God saying it's not time to talk about it. Now it's time to show them. And here's what I want you to do right now in this place. I talked about God being the God that can shift things in a moment. And I want to show you the power. power behind that moment. If you are in this place and you have any illness, any sickness, any headaches, any migraines, any joint pains, any back pains, if somebody was a plate in your back from a surgery that happened, if you have not been able to bend or move, if you have any type of sickness, I want you to come up here to the front right now. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you to experience the same power that broke me out of my prison is the same anointing that is going to break you out of your prison. It's the same anointing that will take away the migraines. It's the same anointing that will take away the issues that you're having with your intestines. It's the same anointing that is going to allow you to understand that God is a God who heals. And I know what they've diagnosed you with and what they've said about where you're at. But God says, my anointing is bigger than what you're feeling. The same anointing that broke me out of my prison this very moment will begin to break you out of your prison. Now watch this. This is your opportunity and your option to decide whether or not you're going to believe in His promise. And to show you that God is no respecter of persons, I want every one of you here to raise your hands. Raise your hands right now. So here's what I want to show you, is that the power of God is not in the man, but it's in Holy Spirit. So even as I'm speaking right now, Holy Spirit is beginning to move within your bodies and beginning to heal you as I'm speaking right now. See, if you're waiting for me to get to you before you begin to receive your healing, you've missed your moment. Because even as I'm speaking right now and as the word is being spoken across your body, that hand is being healed. That back is being healed. The migraines are being healed. Lupus is being healed. The cancer is being healed. The problem in your knee is being healed. The cracking in your ankles and in your neck is being healed. Right now in this moment, the presence of God is being felt. Father, right now, let your wind blow. Let your wind blow over her right now. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Holy Spirit, I pray that a fire would begin to surge through her body. Father, let her understand that in the past you've had to stand and be strong. But God says now is the moment for you to relinquish what you thought was strength to receive my strength. So Father, right now, release your power like never before. Holy Spirit, as I begin to move, I thank you for highlighting your children. I thank you that the heart is being made well. I thank you, Father, that everything inside of his body is being healed right now. More, 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 more. Father, I thank you right now. Help them to understand, God, it's not in the falling out. That is nothing that determines the healing. But Father, it is the love of God that shines on the heart of a man that feels like his life has nothing to offer where it's at right now. So I come against them. Now, if you're up here, watch this, stay in this pocket. Because you out there, even as I'm praying for them, just give me a couple more minutes, because what you do for others, God will allow to be done for you. And there's somebody out there who said, man, that's kind of crazy out there. I'm not going to go up there and try to get healed. And I don't like that weird stuff. I'm not pushing people down. I'm not karate kicking nobody. I'm not selling you a cloth for $29.95 or oil. This is the anointing of God that loves you so much that he wants you to be healed right now of the stomach issue. Father, I thank you right now. Pastor, can you please come here? Can you lay your hands on her stomach right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree that the issues that are going on in her intestines and her bowels are removed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I decree and I declare that cancer has no place. I decree and I declare right now, God, that her system is moving and functioning. Father, I decree and I declare that the infection that has set place, that they said was spreading, I thank you, God, that you're removing it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree and I declare at this moment that she is healed, set free, and delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. The best is yet to come for her life. Now, Holy Spirit, do your work right now. Do your work right now. Do your work right now. Young man, come here, brother. Come here. What's the issue with you?
Dislocated my thumb.
You dislocated your thumb. So what would it normally hurt for you to do with your thumb?
Bend it.
Do you believe that this is your moment for God to touch you?
Yes.
So you raise your expectation. You sure about that?
Yes.
Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Am I right? So do you like that piece on your arm right now?
No.
So here's the deal. As I was beginning to speak, the same God that is healing them is the same God that is healing you. So I want you to take off that brace. So watch this. Now, you said it would hurt you to bend it, right? So here's what I want you to decree and I want you to declare. So I want you to say it. I'm not even going to say anything, okay? I want you to say right now.
Right now.
My thumb is completely healed.
It's completely healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That I'm completely healed.
That I'm completely healed.
Move your thumb. What are you doing right now?
I'm moving my thumb.
How's your thumb feel?
Good.
Come here. Come here. Hold on. Come here. Come here. Stand up on the stage, bro. Now, I didn't pay you, did I?
No.
I don't know you, do I? So here, I'm going to hold this. Do you see how you rolled this up? So I want you to move your thumb right now. What do you feel? Tell me what you feel.
Not pain.
So watch this. What's your name? Lance. Lance, God's got a calling on your life that is unorthodox. You're going to go places that people don't get to go. You've wondered why you don't fit in all the time with certain people, and God's been removing people out of your life. But God says, I'm moving you into a season where my anointing and my glory isn't something that you pray for, it's what you live from. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a double portion over everything that God has blessed me with in my life. And the same prisons that the Holy Spirit allowed me to break out of people's lives, Lance, are the same prisons that you're going to allow to break other people out of right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that Lance is a mighty man of God. Father, I decree and I declare right now, and I pray a double portion of all of the anointing that you have given me in my life. Father, I decree and I declare that the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of what you have for Lance right now, God, is beginning to shine like never before. Holy Spirit, begin to move like never before in Lance's life. Father, thank you, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. So watch this. Watch this. I'm almost done. Watch this. If you're up here and you said to me, Pastor, you didn't pray for me, you've missed it. If you're up here and there was something that you were dealing with, who's the person with the back pain? That was you and you? And what couldn't you normally do? Okay, so you said you couldn't lift your arms up. not for a length of time. So can you lift your arms up for me right now? Okay. Just keep them up for a minute, okay? And it was you who you said you had the back pain, right? How you doing? How you doing? You okay? Okay, hold on. And you said you had back pain, right? You had back pain. It came up here, but you don't feel it. How you doing? You okay? How's your back feeling? Do you have pain shooting down your side right now? You ain't going to hurt my feelings. Do you have pain? Right. Okay, so watch this. But you said that you didn't have any pain. But I didn't touch you. But you know who did? Who touched you?
Jesus.
So watch this. Here's what I want you to do. What's your name?
Aksa.
Aksa? Come here. So you said the pain was like right here? Numbness. So you had herniated disc. Okay. So you can put your hands down because you held them up for a long time. How does your back feel right now?
It feels good.
Okay. So I just sense a little bit of that still, like, oh, I still feel a little bit of it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to place your hand. Show her right where the pain was. So I want to show you guys something. That the power of God doesn't sit on the anointed man of God. The power of God is inside of you. And when you decide that you want to allow the kingdom of God to be moved through you, is when miracles begin to happen. We sing songs like He's the God of the miracles. He's the God of the miracles. So as I'm speaking right now, here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna go down this way. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to release the power of God that healed you right now, that stopped your pain, that I didn't touch you, but Holy Spirit touched you. And the same Spirit that touched you is touching you even as I speak right now. Now, here's the deal. Oftentimes when we get healed, we look for things like pain to determine whether or not we've been healed rather than look for healing. Did you guys catch that? I'm trying to teach you guys something right now. When you get healed, I ask you, how do you feel? And what do? We start looking for pain. Whatever it is that you magnify will manifest. So here's what I want you to do. As she's releasing the power of God into your body, I want you to begin to look for that, because you've had a long road and you're tired. Yeah. And there are battles that you seem to keep fighting, and you say, I don't know when it will stop. When it's one thing that's done, it's another thing, and it's another thing. And it feels like you go home and you've got combat boots on your feet all day long. When you get out of your car, you put on your war paint because you're used to war. And you battle with it in your head. And that's the worst thing, because nobody sees the breakdown that you have in your car. Yeah. Nobody sees that you're one situation away, you feel like, from losing it all and breaking. But can I tell you something? God makes mosaics with broken pieces. So I want you to get this, because the power of God is going through your body right now. But what I'm going to pray for, what I feel like, Holy Spirit, you came up here and thought it was for your herniated disc, but Holy Spirit already healed that. What God wanted to give you was rest. Because that's what you need more than you need sleep. Yeah, she said, what'd you say?
I do.
So here's, let me see your hands. You got it, right? You praying for it, right? Are y'all praying for it? We family, right? So watch this. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for a divine peace. Breathe on her right now, Holy Spirit. Father, I decree and I declare that there is a divine peace going through her body even as I speak. That you would give her a rest like never before. As I'm speaking, the power of God is being transferred into her body, that she will no longer wake up
in the middle of the night with anxiety attacks. Yeah. I thank you, God, that medication that they put her on, Father, are completely removed. God says you need to come off your medication because he's your doctor. Now watch this. I'm talking about them saying that the depression and the anxiety and all of these things that are going on within you, God says, no. I'm bigger than that right now. All of the different, I see you trying to, in your bed, like trying to get comfortable because of the pain, and you feel like there's no release. So right now, there's a release in her mind, in her soul, in her body. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. What does your back feel like? What do you feel?
My back feels fine.
Now you said, no, you said it feels okay. Okay, so fine isn't great. And we don't serve a God that just waits till things are just fine. We serve a God that says you need to be completely healed. And so I'm not afraid to go at it again because my name's not on the line. You'd be surprised at how many people are afraid to pray for somebody because you're focused on you. My name's not on the line. His is. My job is just to make his power available through me. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody stretch your hands right now. Watch. No, you're not done yet because you still got juice flowing through it. Sometimes we just need an extra jump. So you're the positive side of it. Now you got to add the other side to get the battery jumped, right? So watch this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're not just a God that does fine things, that you're a God that does complete things. So Holy Spirit, as I speak right now, I thank you that the vertebrae are fixing together. I thank you, God, right now that the bulge is completely gone. I thank you, God, that the fluids that have been separating, God, are completely gone. Father, I decree and I declare right now that there is healing going through her entire body right now. Holy Spirit, as we stretch our hands, we stand united. Holy Spirit, do your work. Bring back the feeling in her back, that the numbness is gone, that the fire is here. And I decree and I declare that from this moment on, that she is healed and the mind in the name of Jesus, right now. So, Father, I pray a double portion of healing in her life right now. Father, I decree and I declare that this is a season of breakthrough. And I decree and I declare that every enemy that has set itself against her would fall right now in the name of Jesus, that your power would begin to move like never before. In Jesus' name, peace, 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 peace. You're a prayer warrior. You're a prayer. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous availeth much. And you've warred for so many people while you fought with casualties of your own. You've taken hit after hit after hit, and yet you're still standing. The enemy thought that he could take you out a long time ago, but he can't touch what God has established. Lift your hands for me. Father, I see rejuvenation going into her body right now. Father, I see you reversing cells and changing things around right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray as her hands are lifted that there is a fire that is beginning to reverse what the enemy thought that it would age. So Holy Spirit, begin to move right now. Reverse it, reverse it, reverse it, reverse it, reverse it. In Jesus' name. There's been a breakthrough that you've been praying for. And you thought that God forgot about you because it's been going on for a while. But at this moment, God highlighted you to let you know that from his throne he has already decreed and declared that it will come to pass now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. No. Father, I thank you right now that the attack that the enemy has tried to have on her faith will be broken right now. Father, I decree and I declare that the love for your word would begin to be multiplied right now. Father, allow your seed to begin to germinate, and the seeds that she's prayed for her family and the seeds that she has prayed for her generations would begin to come to pass. Father, I decree and I declare right now what she thought was done is just beginning right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now. So here's the deal. God is a God that just begins to highlight people. And as God begins to highlight people, it's because he just wants you to know how much he loves you. And sometimes what you really need to feel and just know is that God loves you. Sometimes it's the kisses from heaven that you wish to know, for people to know that you're still here, that you're still breathing, that you still have a pulse, that you still have desires, that you still have dreams. And right now, even when what you're looking at doesn't seem like what God showed you, God says, I love you more than you could even understand. He says, I love you so much that when you begin to wake up, I hush heaven to begin to hear that my daughter is waking up. And I feel like God is wanting you to understand that there is a little girl that is inside of you. And God is saying the little girl has been hurt for so many years that you can't even trust fully that there's a father who loves you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you even before you were even in your mother's womb that I called you. You know what that means? That means that before parents even came on the scene, God already set you aside and apart for a destiny. So what happened and what was said and the things that you experienced had nothing to do with your worth, because God called you valuable and priceless before you even took your first breath. And what you need, I feel like God wants to just shower you with his love. Because the love that you're looking for, God says, I've got it. It's not in all the other things. He says, I've got it. And it's by no coincidence that you're here. You almost didn't make it. But God says, I had a purpose for you. You didn't miss it. I feel like you feel like you've missed steps and you regret a lot. If I would have done this, if I could have made this choice. You live with regret. I see it just hanging over you. The regret of past decisions. And God says, today, my daughter, you are exactly where I want you to be. So let me see your hands. What's your name?
G.
G? Father, right now, fill her with your love. I see this picture of this little girl who used to hide. And when things got really, really rough, there was a place that you would go. Is that making sense to you? And this little girl would go to escape it in hopes that it would go away. But it seemed like it didn't. And now you're a grown woman. And you feel like your hiding place has been taken. And now you're facing what you're facing dead on with nowhere to go. I want you to know that God says you can hide in my love, because it'll never change. Father, I thank you for the love that you are showering here with. I speak to the little girl and allow her to know that it's okay to be loved again. It's okay to trust again, that you're not them. You're not the ones that hurt her. And I decree and I declare right now in this moment that the power of God would begin to heal those wounds that are inside of her heart that go deeper than where she is right now. That you're beginning to heal her from the inside out. Father, I thank you, Father, for what's growing. I thank you, God, for the next season. I thank you, God, for provision. I thank you, God, that you put her at rest. Look at me. God says, I know what you need before you even ask it. He says, rest. Rest in me because I'm the Father that will never abandon my children. I'm the Father that will always be there. I'm the one who guides you, who protects you, and I'll continue to protect you. God wants you to rest and know that you are so loved and you are so valuable and that your purpose for your life has not even begun yet. The past mistakes, God said, let them go. You know, they say that hurt people hurt people. What happened to you was because of people who were hurt from when they were little. And God wants you, I just feel this word, just release. Just let it go. It's not helping. It's hurting. Those moments are hurting. That weight, it's hurting. There's no regret with God. He says, I'll take everything that you've messed up and I'll turn it around for you. But he says, let me be the one who does it. You don't have to do it anymore. You're very analytical. You analyze a lot of things. Well, if this is that and that is that, how is that supposed to happen? And that doesn't make sense. And no, so you try to do it all on your own. And I hear God telling you, will you just chill out? He said, last time I checked, you don't keep this earth spinning. Last time I checked, he says, you don't tell the water that it can only go so far. He says, stop overanalyzing things. You're paralyzing yourself from praising me because you overanalyze. Let it go. You don't know more than God. I know it's crazy, but you don't know more than him. He wants you to know that he's already mapped out everything. So you don't have to create anything. Just step into what he's already created for you. So here's what I want. Give me a moment, please. So I heard something. I was like, God, when is it going to end? When is it going to stop? There's no relief. And I keep hearing, when is it all going to end? You have been under so much stress trying to ask, when will it stop? But God wants you to know that he's heard and caught every tear that you've ever cried. He's moving you into a scary place right now. It's uncomfortable for you. It's different than what you've ever known. And the stress that's mounting up on you, God says it's not yours to carry. People will be people. They'll say things. They'll do things. But God says, I am with you. You can ask him, when is it going to stop and why do I feel like I'm by myself in this journey? Like nobody can see what you're really feeling. Look at me. Not what you're feeling, but what you're really feeling. The battles that you deal with that nobody else sees. And you say, I'm tired. I just wanted to stop. And I want to pray for you right now. Because there's a God that says when I say something stops, it must stop. Not it has the option, it must stop. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the area of pain in her life. And I command you to cease right now. Through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Cease right now. What was crooked, make straight. What went off, make right. And I just feel like you've been feeling so distant, so far, like God doesn't hear you, like He doesn't, like you've moved so far away from Him that He doesn't even care. But can I tell you that God says, I've watched you as you slept at night. And He says, there's nowhere that you can go that I will not be. There's no place in your mind that you can go. No doubt that you can conjure up that will stop my faithfulness. Because the word says, even when we're unfaithful, look at me, He remains faithful. You haven't gone anywhere. You don't have to start all over. You don't have to try to get back to where you were. God says, just pick up where you are right now. It's done. Don't waste your time trying to go back. God says, move forward. As scary as that seems, take that step and watch God begin to align you with the right people in your life. There's an alignment coming for you. And when you feel like you've lost something that was so valuable, God says, I've got something that you don't even understand that I have for your life. Let it go and let Him be God. All right? I'm at this place where, how many of you here up front, how y'all feeling? You feeling good? How you feeling, my man?
I have issues.
And how have those issues affected you? Like, are you living the life that you want to live because of those issues? David. So David said he had ringing in his ears. So I prayed for him right now and asked him, what does he hear? And he says they're less than what they were when he came up. But we serve a God that doesn't want to make things sound less. He wants to remove them. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hands on your ears. And what I want you to say is I want you to command your body to get in alignment. So here's what I want you to say. I command you.
Ears.
To stop ringing.
Now.
I command you.
To get in alignment.
So that I may hear.
The sound.
Of heaven.
Distortion.
Stop.
Now.
Say that one more time.
Pretty quiet.
Gone.
Say it one more time.
Gone.
David, here's what I want you to learn. Your entire life has been just this journey. And God says at any moment, you have the power to turn it all around. You have the ability to speak life into situations that they said it was long ago. And you said something to me, you said, my ears are ringing because it's my own fault, right? Did God go through a long list of trying to determine why your ringing should stop?
No.
God says, stop going through your list. Stop going through your list of what went wrong and what you did and what was the past. He's a God that forgives it. It's done, brother. So here's what I want you to do. Now I want you to place your hands on your head. Do you mind if I say it out loud? Put your hands on your head still. So David also said that he had a chemical imbalance in his brain. So now he's going to speak life into his situation and it's going to be gone. How's your ringing?
It's gone.
It's gone. Because it was never his in the first place. When we say things like, I have poverty, or I'm having anger issues, or I have this, or I have that, do you realize that God never gave that to you when you were born? But when you begin to get possessive over the things that begin to oppress you, you give the enemy position and permission to stay. It's that simple. You are not depressed. You do not have anxiety. You do not have cancer. You do not have anger problems. You do not have those things. You weren't born with it. You ain't having it. So here's what I want you to say right now. Say right now.
Right now.
I command. You brain to get into alignment. Chemicals.
Get into alignment.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Just stay there, David. Just stay there. Don't move. Father, I thank you. Out of his bloodstream, let it be removed. Out of his bloodstream, let it be removed right now. I thank you that it's no longer circulating in his body. Completely remove it right now. Couple more minutes, you guys, and I'll be done. Yeah. And they gotta go. All of them.
Amen.
All of them. Not a one left in your body. Okay, so watch this. You said something. You said, I have. Were they yours?
No.
Do you like them?
No.
No. So therefore, they're not yours. Watch this. The moment you decide that you don't want them is the moment they're gone. So watch this. Lift your hands. I thank you, Father, for cleansing her blood. Flush from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet as I speak right now. The basket of medication must go right now in the name of Jesus. This is not payback for a life you've lived. This is not from the things that the enemy wants you to believe. This has been an attack on your destiny. Jesus, I decree and I declare divine supernatural healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I decree and I declare that what they have diagnosed her and the titles that she has lived with are broken right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I decree and I declare that the best is yet to come, that there is a life of fullness, a life of healing, a life of shift, a life of change, a life of transformation. Father, I thank you right now that you're restoring and removing the pains in her head. Father, I thank you right now, God, that you're allowing her to rest. I thank you, God, that the medications that she has been relying upon now are gone. That her mobility and the movement is released right now. Yeah. God says you've been in pain, joints and muscles like pain. It's like pain, like it's excruciating pain. Does that make sense? Where's it at?
In my legs.
In your legs. So when you move, you've had pain in your legs. And what would it normally hurt you to do in your legs?
Usually when I stand up.
When you stand up from sitting. But you just said something about your pain, and I'm going to allow you to speak life into your own life. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. I want you to say, whoa, did you, hold on, wait. Oh, what'd you say?
I felt healing when you were praying for the others.
For the others?
I felt the healing.
You felt the healing. So you're, come here, come with me real quick, and I'll be done. I'm just going to do one prayer. Can you sit down right here? And then go ahead and stand up. Sit down again. And then stand up. And what do you feel?
I'm healed.
Oh, y'all can do better than that. Can y'all give some praise for Holy Spirit?
Here's what I want to do. Who's right here? Well, I'm going to go here first, and then I got you, girl. I didn't forget about you. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Okay. I know it's getting late, but I feel like Holy Spirit wants to do just a one whole movement. So you came up here for
a lot of things.
A lot of things. And you're feeling right now what?
Tingling
everywhere. So what would it normally pain you or hurt you to do up here? Anything?
Anything. Definitely.
So what are you feeling right now? You say you feel tingling.
And I feel warmer.
Warmer on your heart.
Yeah. There's a blood thing and there's a chromosome thing. There's a few things.
There was a blood thing and there was a chromosome thing. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that even the tingling is proof that it's already gone. No thinning of the blood. I thank you right now, God. Health. Because there's healing in the blood. There's wholeness in the blood. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I need you. Come here. So here's what I want to do. I want all you guys who hasn't gotten prayed for yet, real quick, who's up? Just you guys right here? Just you two? Oh, I love this. So watch this. How does it feel right now? You still?
I mean, it's fine now, but I did it a little bit.
So it still burns. It still hurts. Does it still hurt? Don't sugarcoat it. Come on. Did you come for a healing?
I'm healed.
Good.
I'm healed.
So that needs to stop.
Yeah. It needs to stop.
Permanently.
Yeah.
Not sometimes.
Right.
Not when you move it this way.
Right.
Not when you move it that way. But all the time. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel? You said Daniel? Oh, I love that. Okay. So here's what I want you to do, Daniel. Real quick. We're just going to put your hands on her knees. And I want you to begin to speak life right now into her knee right now.
Go ahead. I speak life to your knee right now in the name of Jesus. Command all that pain to leave right now.
Father, we stand in the prayer of agreement. Go ahead and move that knee. Move that knee. What do you feel?
I don't feel anything.
Twisted that funny way.
Yeah, twisted that. What do you feel? What do you feel when you twisted that funny way?
Yeah, it goes down here into my.
It goes down where?
Down here,
Daniel. You got work to do. You got to go back. You got to. Yeah, we ain't done yet. Hold on, Pastor. Is this okay? Okay. So go ahead and just.
Hey, pain. You're still there. You got to go away. Come on, time to go. Come on, time to leave. Get out of here.
Okay. Go ahead and move it again. Go ahead. Go do your thing, girl. Do a little Zumba. Do something that you normally... There you go. Hello. So what do you feel?
It's fine. It's good.
Father, I thank you.
Thank you.
Come here, Daniel. You ain't done, brother. I need you, bro.
Hello.
Thank you,
every ounce gone, every ounce Because you love her. That's it. Because you love her. Every ounce. It will not travel. It will not move. It will not deviate. It's gone. Go ahead and move it. What are you looking for? That's the question. So what do you feel?
Watch this.
No. Do you want it? So watch this. How many times in our lives do we cheat ourselves out of what God wants to do because we feel like it's too many times? He's a God that says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and doors will be open. There's some doors that you need open for you. But it's the same mentality. I've been knocking for so long. And I need these doors open. See, how we do one thing is how we do everything. There's no, oh, come on. Because that can't stay. Just like you wouldn't want a door halfway open. You wouldn't want it cracked open. You want it all the way open. So, Father, I thank you for blowing this thing completely out right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, right now. Completely gone right now in the mighty name of Jesus. No more. Not a little bit, not some, but completely removed out of her. Completely removed out of her. Completely removed out of her right now. Right now, right now. There it is, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Said it, that was you. So she's the last one tonight, and this means the world to her. I was on the stage and Holy Spirit highlighted scoliosis, and she said they had diagnosed her with scoliosis and osteoporosis, but because God highlighted it, he desired for you to get your healing right now at this place. God say, my daughter, your faith has made you whole. Yeah. 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 Pastor, can you come here again, please? Yeah. Can you put your hand on her back, on her spine? Okay. Now we serve a God that says what was crooked, he makes straight. So what we're going to believe for, and even as I speak right now, there's a straightening of the spine. That there is no curvature. I decree and I declare right now that scoliosis, I serve you notice, you must leave her body immediately. Right now, in Jesus' name. Strengthening of her joints, strengthening of her bones. God, I call life back into the dead bones. I speak life into her body. I speak life into every area right now. Yeah. Receive it. It's done. God says, go back to your doctor and begin to go and look at it again. Because your report has been changed. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for tonight. We celebrate the ability to begin to walk in your power and your authority. Real quick, if you have a business and you've been praying for your business to be accelerated right now, raise your hand. Yeah. God's got a word for you business owners. He says, what is the blueprint for why you want the success? Money is a tool. And if we're asking God to give us a tool, but we have no projects, He's not going to give it to you. So if you're a business owner, I want you to raise your hand right now. Okay. There is going to be a shift. Hear me. In 24 hours. No. Hear what I'm saying. This is not a speak it and prosper. I literally mean it. A shift. Who's ready for the shift? Okay. So none of the business owners clapped their hands. I said, who's ready for a shift? I'm not going to ask you to give a blessing to sow $23.23 with 23 words. I'm not saying any of that. The reason why God wants you to have the blessing is so that you can pour back into the house that is allowing God to bring more and more souls. People who tell you numbers don't matter are missing it. Every number matters. You want to know why? Because every seat that's stacked on that wall is a soul that could have been saved. Every seat that is empty on a Sunday is somebody. I'm believing right now for massive services. I'm decreeing and I'm declaring right now over Pastor Kimberly and Pastor Gary right now. I decree and I declare that there are more services. I decree and I declare that this land is too small. I decree and I declare right now, God, that the vision that you have shown for their life must come to pass right now. Father, I decree and I declare for what they have labored in, God, that you are giving birth to a baby that is larger than what they can accept. Father, I thank you for land that they have been asking for to build on, Father. I thank you, God, that the preschool will turn into an elementary school. Father, I decree and I declare right now that this city would know your saving grace and know your power. That God says more is more is more is more is more. Father, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. This building will be rented out. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that this will be a secondary source of income for Spectrum Church, because there is a wide spectrum that you have called them to reach right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for every business person here that God, as you begin to bless their businesses, God, that you would allow them to have the proper clientele and kingdom connections, that God, you would allow wealth to flow into their home. Father, I pray for those who are in a job right now. Father, that you would allow promotion after promotion after promotion. Father, I thank you that you will overlook seniority. Father, I thank you, God, that you will allow jumps and leaps and bounds so that they can raise their tithe in this place. That your house, God, will not lack. That your facilities will not lack. That the mighty men and women of God, Pastor Kimberly and Pastor Gary, that they would not lack in anything because they have a heart to give. I thank you for multimillionaires in this congregation. Not just so they can enjoy great things, God, but so that they can do greater things for your kingdom. I speak to those who have witty ideas and inventions to come into break right now. Father, I thank you for kingdom connections to set that contractor up with what he's been looking for. Father, I decree and I declare for those businesses in beauty and health right now to flourish. Father, I decree and I declare for every idea in real estate to open up that door. Father, I decree and I declare right now, God, that your wealth from the kingdom of God would flow into this place. That you would bless them according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, before I say amen, I want you to catch what I just said and I'm done. He says, let me bless you according to my riches and glory. So let me break that down for you. He didn't say, let me bless you from my riches and glory. He said, Andre, let me bless you according to my riches and glory. That means this. If I'm blessing you and I'm a billionaire according to my wealth, that means I have to bless you from a billionaire standpoint. Okay, y'all didn't catch that.
He says, I wasn't going to bless you from, which means I'll give you $10 million. He says, I will bless you according to my wealth. Man, I don't think they got this. I think you need to come up here and sing a song or something so they can understand it. He didn't say, I was going to bless you from my abundance. He says, I bless you according to my abundance. If we serve a God that doesn't understand lack, your business will know no lack. If we understand that God blesses us according to his riches and his glory, that means his riches and his glory never run out. Because he is a God that says, I abound and I give you above and beyond because I am a God of above and beyond. So Father, I break that over them that they would be blessed according to your riches and your glory because of your Son, Christ Jesus. We celebrate and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you have done and what you continue to do in this place. That you were here before I even came. I got to just step into what's already been established here. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Come on, everybody. Come on, let's praise God one more time. Wow. Come on, be seated just real quickly. Be seated real quickly. We told you that we were going to give you an opportunity to bless.